Mark chapter 14 this evening. If you get your Bibles open, go to Mark chapter 14. Message tonight. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. We're going to start off in verse number 1. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. It says, "Thereafter 2 days was a feast of Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, No, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do to them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her." Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for service this evening, just now. And we do pray, Lord, that we are sitting in attendance by your grace, Lord. I pray you just be here in our midst as well. And you would be careful, Lord, to encourage and strengthen us, Holy Spirit. Just go down each and every pew, Lord, and wrap upon each of our heart's door, Lord, and help us to open and fellowship with you this evening with the Word of God. And may the Spirit of God have free course in our hearts and our lives, and may he be able to get our attention. May he be able to get our focus. May he be able to get our allegiance, Lord, and our desire focusing to you. Lord, I pray that you would be most important to us than anything else. And may you pray, just mercifully, I pray, and mercifully, I pray and beg and ask and beseech for grace upon this church, Lord, as we go through this time of transition. Lord, the longer we go, it just seems like things are getting more and more in a way that I just don't like to see, Lord. But I pray that you'd be merciful and you'd allow us to be unified spiritually, we would reside spiritually, make decisions spiritually, and be led spiritually, Lord, as your body here in Canonsburg. Help us, Lord, to know and hear from heaven what we ought to do and how to do it, and help it to be clear, Lord. Help us not just to do what feels right, Lord, but help us to do what is right, led of you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of the message is, She Hath Done What She Could. Verse number 8, she had done what she could. What we see here is a little bit of a time frame. It says 2 days. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of leavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. It's given to us by the Spirit of God, that verse there, but we need to understand and realize, as Jesus is going through this situation we read about, he knows and understands the truth of verse 1. He already knows it. It's not something he's unaware of, but he still is faithful to be where he's supposed to be, do what he's supposed to do, and he realizes they made the decision, no, not today on the feast day, because there might be an uproar of the people. They were fearful of the reaction of the people. So they said, no, we won't do it now. We'll just wait and do it later. Jesus is all aware of all of this because he's God. And praise the Lord that he is. He's still God today. He's still, amen, alive and well, and he knows all, and he can be depended upon, he can be trusted, he can be relied upon, and praise the Lord for that, but help it to be so in our lives. And then it gives us the focus of the passage here in verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. He just having dinner with the family there. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. She was not part of the family. She was not part of the invited crowd for the meal there. She just shows up. Why? Because Jesus is there. She knew where the Lord was, and she wanted to be there. She had something to do. Not for the people of the house, not for the house, but for Jesus Christ. She had to get to where he was because she had something she wanted to do. She had to do. And she did it in verse 3. And what we're going to look at, we're going to kind of break down verse 3 a little bit as we look at that verse there. And it says there, says there toward the end, let's just read the whole verse. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box. This box was made in a fashion to where it was very decorative, very ornamental. It was very pretty to look at. It was made as like a decoration type thing, something you would put on display in your home. But it was made to contain something. Obviously, it was made to contain the ointment here, but it was made to contain something one time. It didn't have a screw lid. It didn't have a hinge top. It didn't have, you know, a little rubber cork on the bottom like your piggy bank. It was just all totally concealed. It was a one-time deal. It was very specially made out of alabaster. If you know the substance there, it's not too hard to break something made out of alabaster, but it does hold up and it can stand on its own. It is rigid enough to do that for us. It can hold and contain something, but it's made to be was made very decoratively, very pretty. It was not something she picked up off the side of the road. It was not something she got at a cut rate price at the flea market. This was something that meant a lot to her. It cost a lot for her to have this. The box itself, the contents that were inside this was something that was very, very costly and was worth a lot, and it was very precious to her. And she's decided, being led of God, to bring this to Jesus Christ and totally give it to him completely. Unlike in the book of Acts, where Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit of God and said, we sold land for so much, but they kept back part of the price. They lied to God, and both of them died, and gave that church a real good illustration of don't lie to God. Amen. They had to bury two of the members right off the bat because they lied to God. Amen. Unlike that, she wants to give it all completely to God. She's not expecting to take anything back home. When she leaves from doing this deed, she knows she's bound and determined. She knows in her mind that once this deed is done, it's all the Lord's. I'm not bringing anything. There's no leftovers. Everything's going for this mission that she's on for God to go and give this to him. It's all for him. And the alabaster box was not made to be opened and closed again. It wasn't designed that way. It had to literally be broken by like a blunt instrument of some kind, or either dropping it on the floor or some kind of way. And once it was opened, then you could pour out the contents of the ointment and stuff. And then the box is pretty much useless at that point. It is useless. It cannot be used for anything else again. Its mission is done. She break the box. We, in our lives as Christians, we love a lot of things. Actually, the correct term probably would be say we really, 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 really like a lot of things. There's probably only a few things we really love if you want to get down to the scriptural definition of it. But there's a lot of things that command our attention in our lives. If you are willing to do without these things that you and I are enamored with in our life, if we would be willing to sit there and look at those things and vision those things in our mind's eye, and you say, Lord, I'd be willing to break the box, so to speak, if it'd make you happy. Would you be willing to pray something like that? I mean, there's a lot of things that could come in your mind's eye. I mean, there's a lot of things. But we need to get to the point where God is the focus in our life, where that's the most important thing that we want to do is please God. That's how it was with this lady here in Bethany. And it's amazing that, especially at the end of the passage there, in verse 9, Jesus says, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her. It's not for him, but for her. And do you realize no one even knows her name? Do you know that? Except for God. Do you know her name? It's not in the Bible. You can't show me her name anywhere in Scripture. But God puts this story in here and says that statement at the end as a memorial for her. God wants us to learn something here tonight, and I hope we would do, by His grace, we would do just that. We see here she broke the box. It was a full commitment. She knew no matter how much super glue you have, you're not going to be able to put an alabaster box back together the right way. It ain't going to work. And it was full commitment, and she was okay with that. She desired to do that. It wasn't like she wanted to show the Lord something and it slipped up and fell. Oh my goodness, it broke. No, that was the whole point. Total commitment to God. Everything was for Him. I'm going home with nothing in my hands. It's all for Him. Is that how we are in our lives when you pray? Does God speak to you and speak to you when you have prayer time and talk with the Lord? Does He get your attention if you ever got to that point? We get to that point with our loved ones, our family members. Sometimes we get in a situation, man, I'll give my right arm for such and so or whoever it was, and we'll say things like that. But will we be fully committed to do something like that for the Lord? Knowing we're not going to take anything back home, just give it all to Him. Amen. Listen, we don't even know her name. And one of the things about this day and age in which we live, we want everybody to know who we are. Amen. Make sure you get my name on that and you spell it right, please. Why do we do that? Because we want them to know who we are. Amen. Amen. The verse number 3, look at it again. It says there, she broke the box and poured it on his head. And you see previously there it says a box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Ointment of spikenard. This was a substance that was the apothecaries, I believe it is a term you would use, that would put something like this together. And it was made and designed for specific special occasions in the culture of that day. And it was very precious and really expensive, and it was not something easy to get. You would have to pursue the place where this stuff was made, and you would have to probably wait your turn for batches to be made and wait in line to get your batch or your alabaster box full or whatever. And once you would get that, it was something you would hold in high regard, and you would put it on display, and people would come in your home and say, That's the ointment in my alabaster box. And they would know what it was and why it was there and how important that was in that culture. It was something that everybody understood. Not everybody had it, but they all understood when they saw something that they knew what it was. We in America, we need to realize that the Lord is worthy of everything. He is worthy of everything. We think we do so much good for God when we go to church. Just because we show up for church, we think we do something great for God. And it's good, obviously, to be in church. Amen. That's commanded in Scripture. Being obedient is always a good thing. But the thing is, you're just simply being obedient. Do you realize if you do everything in Scripture that's written out for us in Scripture, if you're just simply being obedient to what God told you to do? That's all you're doing. You haven't gone over and above at all. You're just simply reading something. God shows it to you in Scripture, and you're saying, yes, I'll obey. That's all you're doing. Now, that's a good thing, but that's all you're doing. And yet we think, because we're doing this great thing, that we need to be rewarded for being obedient. That's how we think nowadays. And it's all through society. That's why it's part of the church now, because it's all through society. I mean, they have kids in school. When they have field days or some kind of activity, everybody has to get a ribbon for something. Why? Because they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, that's life. Your feelings are going to get hurt. You're going to have a bad day. You will not always win. That's part of life. But they try to remove that from the equation and have society dumbed down and spiritually not where it should be. And then we have what we have now, where nothing is wrong, everything is okay except for this book. Nothing is wrong. I mean, you could walk outside, have your head shaved, and have polka dots and fishing hooks in your face, and wearing whatever it is that you feel like, and that's nothing wrong with that. That is acceptable in society today. And don't you dare say anything, because it's okay, but it's not. But nobody's going to say anything. Why? They're afraid to. Society is held captive by fear. We are. And it's in the churches. It's in your Christian life. That's why you don't say nothing for the Lord most of the time in your life. When you speak about God, normally it's going to be in church or with some other Christian. But you won't say it around somebody else. Why? Because you're afraid. Society is paralyzed with fear. Think about it. Just let that sink in. Like I talked about in Sunday school today, just stop and think. Do something the devil's been telling you not to do for years. Just stop and use the brain God gave you and just think about some things. Think about it. We don't do thinking anymore. And devil's behind that too. But it was ointment of spikenard, very precious, expensive, not easy to get, and it was the full price. She didn't hold any of it back. She didn't put any in her pocket to save for later or anything like that. It was just all for him, totally all for him. In verse 3, it says, she poured it on his head. It was intentionally done just for Jesus and only for him. It wasn't for anybody else in the house. It wasn't for the man of the house. It wasn't for the lady of the house and cooking the meal and setting the table and everything. She went directly, made a beeline right for Jesus, found out where he was. He's sitting there having supper, and she pours it on his head. Only on his head, intentionally done just for him, only for him, full amount and total commitment. It's exactly what she was there to do. She wasn't there to have a meal. She didn't care about anything with anybody else. She knew that's where Jesus was. That's where she had to go, because she had to do this. Why? Because God told her to. It says right there that Jesus said, she had done, verse number 8, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Who else would have known except God that was the case? She knew because God told her. Can God talk to you like that? Well, yes, he can. Does he talk to you like that? God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't. Now, we may be a saved child of God, and praise the Lord for that. That's only because of what God did. If we are saved, that's only because of what God did for us. But as you live your life for him like you should, and even if you don't, the fact remains, does God talk to you like that? Can he tell you stuff like that? Can he get a hold of your heart and get a hold of your heartstrings and get your attention? Can God talk to you like that? He should be able to. He was able to do this with this lady. She was able to do something wonderful that nobody else, no angel, no other being did this except for her. The special thing she did just for the Lord. And we don't even know her name, because her name's not important. What she did is the important thing. We think so much of ourselves that we'd rather have our name out there than what we did, because we think we're it. We think we're the best things in sliced bread. And we're not. Verse 5, look at verse 5. It says, therefore it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. They murmured against her. There's no spiritual understanding here with these individuals. They don't realize what is happening. A lot of times in Christian circles, God tries to do something and move upon an individual, whether it's in a church or in a family or even in a situation maybe where at work where a person needs to get right with God or get saved, whatever it is, and God tries to move upon somebody's heart, and nobody understands what's going on. And they actually take offense at what God is doing, and they murmur against the individual that's trying to be used by God. It happens every single day. Amen. It does. Why is that? Because there's no spiritual understanding. Our salvation gives us the opportunity to fellowship with God, to understand His precious word, to be led of the Spirit of God. But just because we're saved does not automatically give us 100% spiritual understanding every day. It doesn't happen like that. It is something that is fostered. It is something that is pursued after by you and I as we pursue the spiritual life and depend upon the Spirit of God. If we do not on purpose pursue the Spirit of God and this Word of God every day in our life and feed our spirit to help it to grow and to be nurtured and strengthened to where we can have a spiritual understanding in our lives, if we don't pursue that, it's not there. You say, I understand a lot of things. Sure you do. Sure does so does the lost world. But there's no spiritual understanding. Unless you're getting it from God on a daily basis, you don't have it. Amen. Now we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, we're a child of God, but a disobedient child of God is not going to have spiritual understanding. God doesn't waste anything. Now it's available to us, it's available to me, it's available to you, but we need to be obedient to God and be following Him and His Word before He's going to dispense spiritual understanding. Amen, and you do need to have it, by the way. You do need to have it to survive in this day and age in which we live. There are things that you allow in your home through the gate of the television set that you need to have spiritual understanding over. And most of what you're watching, you shouldn't be watching because it's attacking your Christianity. But you don't get it. You probably think I'm a whack job for saying something like that because you don't have the spiritual understanding to pick up on it. And I'm not making fun of you or light of you. It's just a reality. Most Christians in America are oblivious that they are daily under attack in their Christian walk. Daily under attack. They're oblivious to it. They're just like the world. They just follow the world. The world says this is a good idea. They say, well, we didn't used to do that before, but I'll go ahead and go along with the crowd. They're oblivious. God has called us to be separated unto Him and this book and to do right no matter what happens. Right is always right. I don't care if it's 2018 or 1755 or 1611. Right is always right. God is always right. His word is always right. This world changes? Yes. God doesn't. We need to realize that standing for God is more important now when the world is going so far the other way. It is more important now than ever before. It is so much more important now. Years ago, when churches were respected and honored and given the right respect and viewed correctly in society, unlike today, years ago, things were different. But this is 2018, where children go to so-called public school to learn how to be homosexuals and learn about witchcraft and Muslims and everything except for this book. This book's not allowed. I'd say that's probably something we ought to be praying about. Do we? Nope. Because we're so distracted by so much stuff around us. She had one mission in mind. Find out where Jesus was. He's at this house. He's having supper. I've got to go. Not because I'm hungry. I want to get a meal. But I'm going because I'm going to do this for God. God told me to do this for Him. We need to be here. Our whole life needs to be wrapped up in doing something for God. When God saved us, thank God He did. We escaped from going to hell. We don't have to go to hell for our sins. We have forgiveness with God Almighty, and we have a home in heaven. Thank God for all that. But God saved us to serve Him. That's why He gave us that way out of hell. That's why His love was bestowed upon us, to save us and have a relationship with Him so He could use us and have us serve Him. That's why he did that. As we serve and worship him and follow him, we bring him honor and glory that he desires. When we do not do those things, he doesn't get the honor and glory that he desires. And he's looking at us, watching us, all over the world, watching us, saying, why? Why not? Why don't? And the only time we think about him is when something happens bad. And, amen. And society pays the price. We see all these horrible things going on in society. We say, boy, the devil is just a horrible, mean, nasty, rotten person. You know, it's all his fault. And he is definitely a bad guy. Definitely a bad guy. But it's not his fault. It's our fault for not standing for right. It is. I said it before here, preaching before. When TV first came into its own, and just about every home had a television set, the little bitty black and white box that was the best thing since peanut butter. Everybody had to have one. And TV came into its own. There was a group of individuals, Christians, actually, that had influence on what was allowed on TV. In America, they actually had a voice that was heard and respected. That's why I Love Lucy. Did you ever wonder why they had separate beds on TV? Because that's why. Christians said they don't need to see people in the same bed on TV. That's something that's strictly private. And amen to that. But nowadays, you know what's on there. It's a whole lot of that and worse. Why? Because they know they can get away with it and nobody cares. That's why. The devil's always wanted to do it. But he had people standing in his way. People that actually believed the book and said, no, that's not going to be allowed. That the kids don't need to see that. Young people don't need to see that. They have enough of a problem just with their hormones and things like that, and then there, everything else. The devil says, okay, fine, I'll relax. I'll get my way. And he knew he was right. My goodness, what's on TV now? Christians, you ask Christians today, they don't care. And we're paying the price. You're paying the price. I'm paying the price. This country is paying the price. Society is paying the price for Christians that don't care. She cared so much, and God wanted us to hear, understand that he said no matter where the gospel's preached, it's going to be preached, and this is going to be stated for a memorial for her. Now, we don't even know her name. But that account is in there for Scripture, for the whole world, for all creation to know, because it's in Scripture. All of creation knows what she did. And that's the point, what she did for God. What are we doing for God? On a daily basis, what are we doing for God? My goodness, he does stuff for us 24/7, over and over and over. He never stops. But what are we doing for God? We in this church, no pun intended, we are at a crossroads for this church's very existence. I don't know if you understand that. But if we don't have the mercy of God applied to us and the leadership and leading of the Spirit of God understood and realized in this church, we will not be here much longer as a church. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you the reality of what is going on. It's not a game. I'm not trying to trump up some emotional response from you. I don't want that. And neither does God, by the way. He just wants you. He just wants me to fall in line with his leading of the Spirit of God and the men of the church here. By his grace, please, I've asked you more than once, please, I beg and beseech you, please pray for us. This church is incomplete. We are injured. We are an incomplete body right now. We don't have a pastor. And that does more than just lack somebody who's in the pulpit or somebody that has leadership or somebody's name on the sign. There's more lacking in this church body because we don't have a pastor. There's things that cannot be done and taken care of. We need to pray and beg and ask God to be merciful to us, to send us the called man that he wants us to have, and be in tune with God, so when he does come, we'll know that's the guy. And listen, we have got to be on board. We've got to be on board with this thing, because, I mean, look around. It's not looking good. Amen. And yes, churches close all the time across this country, all over the place. It's a battle, and we're in a battle. We're in a battle. The ordinances are going off all around us. We have casualties around us, where things are changing, things are going off, the devil's not letting up. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God's face. We need to be together, unified spiritually, and be on board with one another, and we need to beg and ask God. We need him badly. 'Cause it's his church, and we got to do things his way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. And I pray that this lady did something for God by breaking this ointment and doing this one-time thing for him, anointing his body to the burial that he knew was coming. She's the only one that did something like that. And the whole, all of creation is going to know what she did, because it's in Scripture. Even though they don't know her name, they know what she did. Help us to be thinking of what we can do, what we're going to do for the Lord in our lives. Is our life lived for him going to be a big zero when we get to heaven? Are we going to be doing something for him that counts? Help us to be, Lord, please help us to be in tune with your Holy Spirit. Help us to have a desire. Help us, Lord, to realize, draw a line in the sand and say, today is a day I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to change. I'm going to, by God's grace, I'm going to do something for God in my life. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me to be led of you. Help me to be on fire for you and led of you consistently. Lord, we need your help. As your people, we desperately need your help. And as his church, we need it as well. Pray for mercy and grace upon us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you want to...